Christ is born.
Glorify Him.
I like that. Today's a leave taking, so today's the last official day that we say that. First, I want to welcome those who are with us online. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Christmas story is a beautiful story. We all love it. It starts with Mary and Joseph's betrothal, and the Holy Spirit overshadows Mary, and she's with child. Joseph doubts. He has his struggles, plans to discreetly divorce her, Mary, but the angel visits Joseph and tells him in a dream, all is well, don't worry about it. She's of the Holy Spirit. They together journey to Bethlehem because there's no room in an inn for them. She gives birth in a cavern where animals are kept, and our newborn Savior is laid in a manger. And that same night, angels come to some shepherds in the field. One announces the birth of the Messiah, and then a whole multitude of angels join, saying, glory to God in highest on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. And these shepherds immediately bolt, and they go down to Bethlehem, and they find the baby Jesus lying in the manger with Mary and Joseph. Then we have the story of the three kings, which is where today's gospel kind of is connected with. It was political custom that when you're visiting, a king visited somebody else's kingdom, you visit the local king. So the three kings go to Jerusalem and they call on Herod. The three kings tell Herod that he is the king of the Jews, that Jesus is the king of the Jews. And Herod tells the kings, hey, when you find him, please send word to me so I can come worship Jesus. And the three kings find our Lord. They bring him gifts of gold, silver, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But then they're warned not to go back to Herod, but go straight home. And this is the story that we all love. This is the story that's romanticized in Christmas cards and Christmas carols and movies. But the Christmas story doesn't end there. There's a part of the story, the Christmas story, that Hallmark does not put in their cards. And it's today's gospel. After the departure of three kings, an angel tells Joseph to go flee to Egypt with the newborn Jesus because Herod wants to destroy our Lord. He wants to destroy Jesus. Why? Because he's a cruel power freak. He's threatened by the idea of another king being born in his jurisdiction. According to the Jewish historian Josephus, Herod had two of his own sons murdered because he felt they threatened his throne. And then he also he had one of his wives killed and even a nephew. And Caesar Augustus said this, it is better to be a hog in Herod's house than a child. So, like the rest of the world, Herod does not understand Christ's kingship. When he realized the three kings ducked him, because he felt his throne was threatened, he ordered the killing of all the children under two, which we just read. This is the tragic and hard part of the Christmas story. It is an important aspect of the Christmas story for us, though, to understand and to own. These pure and innocent children were martyrs. They did nothing wrong. They were simply murdered because of the birth of Christ. These innocent children are called the first martyrs of the gospel. In the first days of Christmas, the days following Christmas, the Nativity, are dedicated to the memory of those who were martyred because of their faith in Christ. On the third day of Christmas, we commemorate the first martyr of the church, St. Stephen. We know his story from the book of Acts. On the fourth day of Christmas, we remember all the martyrs of Nicodemia. On Christmas morning, 304, they were in church worshiping, and soldiers came in and challenged them and said, no, you need to worship these idols or we're going to slaughter you. Of course, they didn't do what the soldiers asked. They were attacked, and their church was burned down. And then on the fifth Sunday of Christmas, what we just talked about, the innocent youth, the holy innocents. But also on the sixth day of Christmas, we remember them, and it's not celebrated greatly, but we also, in the lectionary, remember all the unknown martyrs, all those who have died and suffered for their faith in Christ from the beginning, whether it was by sword, whether it was by starvation, whatever the suffering was, because their faith in Christ, we remember them also. And then on the sixth day of Christmas, remember the virgin martyr Anicia, who was murdered by a Roman soldier on her way to church. It's not a coincidence that immediately, or totally connected with Nativity, over four consecutive days we commemorate martyrs, because they are an example to us. The Greek word for martyr is martyr, meaning witness. The original sense of the word when you said martyr, oh, they're a martyr, meaning they're a witness to something. But of course today it now means a little bit more, means to die for your faith. And that is the ultimate witness, to die for your faith. For a moment this morning, I would like us to consider the meaning of the word martyr as far as a living witness, as a witness to Jesus Christ by the life that we lead. And I think the penultimate, the ultimate scripture on this is what our Lord says in Sermon on the Mount to us. He says, you, us, are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hid, nor do men light a lamp and put it under a bushel, hide it under a basket, but on a stand and give light to the whole house. So let your light shine before men, Jesus says, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. When Jesus says, let your light shine before men, he's saying, be my witness. And when you're your witnesses, so they may see your good works, by the way we behave as Christians, it'll be a witness to God. And this is what this is going on right now in 4 days. It's all about us witnessing to Christ. Not necessarily dying for our faith, but being a witness to the newborn Savior, to the Messiah, the one who's come into the world to save us. We are a witness. Our light shines, brothers and sisters, when we simply live our life as Christians, meaning we love our neighbor. We don't judge our neighbor. We're kind to them. When the poor come to us and ask for alms, we give alms. And when somebody is rude to us, we bless them. If they persecute us, we bless them. We turn the other cheek. When someone asks us to go 1 mile, we go 2 miles. We try to be simply good people. Try to live the best Christ-like life that we can. This is the gospel. This is our martyrdom. This is our witness. Recall that the early church was a persecuted church. The pagan Roman government tried to crush the church, tried to crush the Christians. Did the Christians take up arms? No, they didn't take up arms. They did not fight back. Their life was a martyrdom in the sense of being a witness. They were kind. They let their light shine. They turned the other cheek when they were persecuted. It is said that the pagans at the time, the non-Christians in the Roman Empire could tell the Christians by simply how they, way they acted and the way they loved others. Think about that. You could be, and that's so important, you know, that we act like Christians. I'm so, as, and in my own sinful life too, I am so upset when I see people who purport to be Christians and say and do things that are so un-Christian, especially on TV and all that other stuff. It is true that a few thousand Christians died for their faith under the pagan Roman Empire, but the Roman Empire was conquered simply by the witness of the Christians, by letting their light shine over all those years, for 300 years almost. All they did was let their light shine, and eventually the whole, really the world was turned upside down ultimately, simply by their witness. It was a very positive transformation for the people. It was simply the light of Christ shining forth from the people. So, bringing us together on this feast, or this, these days of Christmas, on the 3rd, 4th, and 5th, and 6th day of Christmas, we remember those who were the ultimate witness to Christ with their lives, being holy martyrs, but also connected with the birth of Christ, the Son of God coming to life, is our needed, and that's the kerygma for us, that we also need to be witnesses, that we also, our life, our vocation is to be martyrs in the sense of being a witness to Christ, letting our light shine. And this is the last thing I'm going to say to us. And this is very important. I never really get the opportunity to say this, to emphasize this at a chrismation service. always read these words very carefully and slowly so everyone can hear it, because this applies to all of us who've been chrismated. We pray that grace may be given to the him, her, or they who are being anointed with holy chrism, so that boldly, without fear, and unashamed, so be strong, that he may, she may, they may confess before all men the name of Christ, our God. The name meaning the essence, the being who Christ is. The word name always biblically means the fullness of God. They may confess before all men the name of Christ our God, that they may let their light shine by their behavior, so that they may always, and that they would also be ready to suffer, to lovingly suffer and die. Well, hopefully that happens to none of us, but we ask for the grace of the Holy Spirit so that we could be lights, so that we could be bold witnesses to the truth of Christ. And as Rome was transformed, the Roman Empire, that we too can transform our culture. This is God's, the church's prayer for us, to be good witnesses. It's our common vocation. Christ is born. Christ be glory, honor, and worship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.